that went to celebrate her birthday. And then we went to the mall. And so what do? They like to shop. And when you're with the youth pastor, they said, "Oh my gosh, you are preaching on Sunday. We have got to get you an outfit to preach in." So I can thank Kelsey and Addie and my daughter Anna for coming up. Yes, these are bananas on my shorts. So I have banana shorts to preach in this morning. They said, "You will look great in that." So I lived in California for about 10 years. And I had a chance, if you've never been out to California, to see the huge redwood trees there. They're amazing. They are probably 2,500 years old. Some of them are as tall as 300 feet high. And you would think the trees that large would have a tremendous root system, but they don't. They have a very shallow root system. The roots of these trees, however, are all interlocked. And so they are tied in with each other. And so when a storm comes and the winds blow, the redwoods still stand. So with an interlocking root system, they support and sustain each other. They need one another to survive. And so do we. So my message this morning is based around community, communion, and us being as a family. So our scripture is taken from the Gospel of Acts, chapter 2, 42 through 47. So I'd ask you to please stand and follow along on the screen or from your own Bible or your device as we read this. This is from the Fellowship of Believers. It says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Any day by day attending the temple, and day by day attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, please bless and have your hands over our congregation and me as I deliver this message, and let it be pleasing to your ears, and let it be inspired and led by you. In your name we pray, amen. Please be seated. So God has given us His church, which is the body of Christ on earth. When one is baptized into Christ, one is baptized into the body of Christ. Through Christ, we are bound together in a community of faith. Belonging to Christ, we belong to each other. Fellowship with Christ means fellowship with each other. This is our God-given support system. As such, it's intended to meet some crucial needs in our lives. Our text for this morning tells us that the very first community of believers gathered together on a regular basis for worship, prayer, study, and fellowship. Acts 2:44 says, "And all who believed were together and had all things in common." It wasn't easy to follow Christ, I'm sure, in the first century. And in today's world, I feel that is becoming increasingly difficult for some to follow Christ with the way Christians are being treated. From bakers being sued for not baking a cake, to college campuses trying to block Chick-fil-A restaurants from building because of their Christian morals. Times were tough then and now, and persecution rampant then and now. The earlier believers were bound together in a fellowship and community. They needed, and we need each other. There is strength in numbers. It also isn't easy for us to follow Christ and truly live for Him. Discouragement, temptation, sin, apathy, failure, materialism, unbelieving family and friends, doubt, rejection. We face so many obstacles in our desires to live for the Lord. God, however, has not left us on our own to run the race and fight the battle. He has given us each other. Our text reveals to us the proper focus of the community of believers. Acts 2:42 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. If there is one thing I have learned as a Baptist, we know how to fellowship and we know how to pray. The teaching to which they devoted themselves was the message about Jesus proclaimed by the apostle. Jesus, the divine Son of God and Savior, was crucified and buried, but He rose from the dead. The apostles' teaching include the words, actions, and teachings of the Lord. Teaching, fellowship, praying, and the Lord's table, as we observed this morning, were the focal points of that first Christian community. So there's five areas that I think are crucial to building and sustaining our Christian community here at Buena Vista. First of all, community. The church or the local community of believers is essential to our spiritual well-being. In the New Testament, there were no Lone Ranger Christians. Believers needed each other, and God expected them to be there for each other. Likewise, we need each other, and God expects us to be there for each other. God has ordained that we play a vital part in each other's faith. For that reason, we are commanded, as is stated in Hebrews 10:25, it says, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. God has a purpose for putting us together. We're unified by our common weaknesses, our common failures, our common disappointments, and our common inconsistencies. Luke informs us that all the believers were in one heart and mind. They were united in Christ into a community of faith. But the Holy Spirit, they possessed the mind of Christ. They made every effort to be led by God's Spirit and to think and act like Christ. Consequently, God used this community of faith to do some powerful things in the lives of countless believers. Living in a pagan, godless world, God's plan hasn't changed. The community of faith is absolutely crucial to our spiritual being. Through it, God desires that we find strength for the journey, places to minister, and never-ending source of guidance. Two, strength. As we face the inevitable trials, troubles, and tragedies of life on this sin-marred earth, God intends that we be supported, strengthened, encouraged, and empowered through our community of believers. As we face the storms and temptations of life, we should receive strength from each other. In the course of his life, the psalmist David knew his share of difficulty. Painful times that tested his faith and sometimes caused it to waver. In Psalm 61:2, he cried out to God for help, saying, hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you when my heart is faint. Overwhelmed by the trials, heartaches, and burdens of life, he called out to God for help and strength. Then in verse 5, he rejoiced because God had answered him. He says, for you, O God, have heard my ways. You have given me the heritage of those you fear or who fear your name. You have given to me, he said, the heritage of those who fear your name. God had strengthened his faith and empowered him, but it was through fellow believers. The fact of the matter is that God works in our lives through other believers. During the times when we are overwhelmed by trials, heartaches, and the burdens of life, we too need to be strengthened and encouraged by fellow believers. When we wonder if God really does love us and care for us, we need God's people. God in His providence has chosen to come to us through His people. Through other Christians, we can sense and know God's love and care. When we're loved and cared for by another believer, especially during painful times, we gain a new sense of God's love at work through them for us. I was a weak Christian when I met my wife. The trials and tribulations I put her through in the early stages of my marriage, or in our marriage, make me wonder how we ever lasted. Between our blended families and our struggles, we dealt with my three kids and my ex-wife. I really felt those times were going to be insurmountable. But she... I told you, I did it last week, I'm going to get through it. But she never gave up. She continued to tell me to pray for them constantly. Over the years and years and years, she said, pray. Pray for them constantly. On April, my middle daughter, who was the hardest, called me and wanted to reconcile. And then last month, she called me to wish me a happy Father's Day, something that I hadn't heard from her in over 15 years. She's on her way to becoming a youth pastor in Northern California, and it's only by the power through God that this reconciliation could have happened. That is why we cannot afford to stand alone and to go it on our own. We need each other. Men, we need our wives. We need the community of faith. Growing up in Michigan, we had our share of heavy snowfalls during the winters. Following a very wet 6-inch snowfall, it was interesting to see the effect it had on different trees. At the park close to our house where we would go sledding, there were several new pine trees there, and the branches were bowed down with heavy snow. So low that the branches from one tree were often leaning against the trunk or the branches of another. But where the trees stood alone, the effect of the heavy snow was different. The branches that had become heavier and heavier ended up snapping, and they just lay there on the ground, dark and alone in the cold, because they had no support against them. When the storms of life hit, we need to be standing close to other Christians. We need each other. We cannot stand alone. The closer we stand in community, the more we will be able to hold up. Throughout our lives, and especially during the tough times, God desires to strengthen and empower us through the community of believers. He expects us to support each other during the storms of life. That is why we need to be an active part in the community of faith. We need each other, and they need us. Third, ministry. The community of faith is crucial to our spiritual well-being because it's the place where we find special opportunities to minister. Those in the community of faith do not merely absorb Christ's love individually. Their changed lives also reflect His love corporately. I believe that many of our youth that returned and that you heard in the mission journey statements that they gave last week spoke on that. We're called to minister and serve. We all have a God-given responsibility to reach out and minister to each other. Love acts. It serves God and others. In verse 44 it says, "And all who believed were together and had all things in common." Their ministry to each other, including sharing of material goods to meet temporal needs. The early church shared much more extensively as a result of economic and social sanctions that were imposed upon the early believers. It was Christian sharing at its best. This is still God's plan for meeting the needs of His hurting children. If we are not ministering to one another through a community of faith, then many needs go unmet, and many reach their erroneous conclusion that God doesn't care about them. Our Hope Center is a clear example of this as we meet the needs of the community around us. So we had community, strength, ministry, and the fourth is guidance. The community of faith is crucial to our well-being because it's the source of much-needed guidance, direction, and even correction. As a friend of mine once said, we need the community of believers because none of us is as smart as all of us. The psalmist in 73:24 says, "You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me to glory." God wants to guide us safely through our earthly pilgrimage, sparing us many wrong turns and harmful paths. In Ephesians 3, chapter 3, verse 10, it declares that so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly place. God wants to guide us, but He has chosen to do it through His people in the community of faith. He gives us wisdom for our journey as we study His Word and pray together. Looking to the Lord's people, we are much more apt to be guided down those paths that enrich our lives rather than wreck them. As we share our lives together, God counsels us with advice that improves our relationships with Him, spouses, children, and those around us. He guides us regarding proper priorities, values, morals, and ethics. Through our interactions with each other and His Word, He helps us make right choices and good decisions. The guidance we receive through the community of faith is absolutely essential to our well-being, especially in these times when right is wrong and wrong is right. Through His people, God guides us away from sinful paths. However, this is oftentimes not easy. As my mother used to say, and I find it very true now, it's hard to be Christian around some folks. So many ways of the world look so enticing and they are so acceptable. They promise to bring us great pleasure. They are presented as harmless. We are told that they will bring us happiness and fulfillment, but they don't. They bring us only heartache and regret. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, it says, "But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." Without a doubt, sin deceives. It promises much, but delivers little. Were it not for the community of faith, we might more easily and readily succumb to temptation and sin. But through our community of faith, we are guided into paths of righteousness, and we are able to resist the sinful and deadly ways of the world. It is a fact. We all need the community of faith more than we often realize. And finally, 5, difficulties. Being in the community of faith is, however, not without its difficulties and frustrations. It can't be otherwise since it's made up of sinners. The mark of community, true biblical community, is not the absence of conflict and difficulties, but the presence of a reconciling spirit. In our humanness, we all do things to rub others the wrong way and to offend. We all at times will be hurt and we will hurt others. Our old sinful nature often causes problems. Nevertheless, we must not back away from the fellowship of faith. We must make an unwavering commitment to a community of believers where we can be strengthened, find places of ministry, and receive much needed guidance. In one of my philosophy classes in college, our professor was talking about and telling us a story about these group of porcupines that were out on the ice during a winter. They were all huddled together and they couldn't burrow into the snow or they couldn't burrow into the ice. But as porcupines are, obviously, they have quills that will prick. So as they got closer and closer, the pain got higher and higher. And some couldn't stand it and they went away to be on their own. But in the morning, those that huddled together and kept warm, they survived. The ones that went off ended up dying. And they had frozen to death. in our humanness, there are times when we hurt each other and the tendency is to pull away and go it alone. We must resist that tendency. So as I asked the praise band to come back up in closing, we were created for community. The journey of life and faith is often trying, difficult, and painful. Discouragement, relentless temptation, sin, doubt, ridicule, bullying, heavy burdens, physical and mental problems, rejection. It's any wonder that God has given us the family of God and the fellowship of believers like we have here at Buena Vista to make it through our daily lives and years of living in our Christian community. So I pray that as we have been welcomed in here over the last 7 months, that we continue to keep our doors open and welcome more people in. That's one of our missions as a youth pastor here in trying to bring in more and more youth. And like I said last week, we took 15 youth to our mission journey last week. I plan on taking 30 next year. So 17, yeah. And I plan on taking 30 next year. So we as a community of believers need to continue that. And that is our mission here. We need to welcome those in, welcome those people in, and bring them in however possible so that we can be a larger community and a fellowship of believers. So as we come to the closing of our service, this is the most important time here. I'm going to take that off and I'm going to turn this off because this is...